More rain and then quite a few showers on Sunday. I'm Cairo 7, Pinpoint Meteorologist Nick Allard.
And we have cloudy skies in the downtown Seattle area. 44 degrees right now. I'm Lisa Brooks.
Stream Cairo Radio at home on your smart speakers, the Cairo Radio app, or MyNorthwest.com. Cairo Radio, your first source to know and understand coronavirus.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Yes, we have a great show to end the week on a high note. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. It is Friday.
I think I've said it a few times. I'm glad it is Friday.
Oh, my goodness. You know the snooze button, those 9 minutes that you get, they felt like 30 seconds each today.
I
kept hitting it and hitting it going, please.
one of my New Year's resolutions was to be done with the snooze button, right? Because it really doesn't do anything for you. It actually makes you more tired when you do it. So it's to get up on the first alarm.
I can't.
Well, now
I can't.
About that, I'm done. No more of that. We do have a lot of good news to share today. So that will be the goal of the G and Ursula Show. We want to try to bring as much good news today to the show. Got a lot to share. Help for healthcare and restaurant workers. Tracy Taylor will let us know how our animal shelters are connecting with people and new pets. And we'll tell you also about a very special project that the G and Ursula Show is launching to give hope to our elderly in long-term care.
And I just want to say this is a very personal project for me. I want to say it's my dad's 87th birthday, and I asked him if he thought this would be a great idea, and he said yes, they would love it. And again, we're going to tell you about it at 9:47, but it's not going to cost you anything more than a stamp, but it's just going to be something that we hope will spread a lot of joy and hope.
George, happy birthday, man, if you're listening. Happy birthday to you. 87 years young.
Excuse me, 89. What did I just say? I gave him 2 years less.
You know, I was thinking that. I saw in your deal that it said 89. I was like, oh, maybe there was a typo.
No, he's 89.
89
yes,
years
happy
young.
Birthday.
Happy birthday, George. Will the government stimulus be enough to keep us all afloat? Does our state have what it needs to help everyone who is sick? Those questions and many more to be asked by you and, of course, our guest on the show from Seattle Mornings News. Joining us right now is Dave Ross. Dave.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Anytime.
Real quick, do you find that Cairo Radio asks you to do a lot of things now that you're just available all the time?
My calendar fills up every day, G.
Okay, it's the end of the week, Dave, and it's a lot of news to discuss. Where are you with everything that's going on right now? You have, of course, Governor Jay Inslee. Let's start with that. How about mm-hmm. that? Let's give me your take on Governor Jay Inslee and what he's been doing over the last few days.
Well, I think he's being governed by the figures, by the experts, by the statistics. I think he is correct to have told people to stay home. That seems to be the consensus. That's about all you can do now until you do testing to find out who is safe to go out and who's not. I will tell you, I was just watching the latest briefing by Governor Cuomo in New York, who was giving marching orders to the National Guard. He gave what sounded like a Churchill blood, sweat, and tears speech, saying, you know, you will be sad, but you will be proud because you were the ones who showed up, and you will tell your grandchildren about this moment. I mean, they are. They're talking about it in World War II terms. And so I think the governor is doing the right thing by keeping things closed. The problem, though, is, and it's a little discouraging to me, that we weren't better prepared because, I mean, in Seattle, we're the home of the Gates Foundation, which has been battling infectious diseases around the world and has given a heads up. As I've tried to do research for our show, I find all sorts of studies talking about the next pandemic. I've been trying to push this idea of improving the kind of masks we use so they don't have to be thrown away every time. And the reason for the shortage is that you use it once, right? You use the mask mm-hmm. for one patient, then you throw it away. And that's the reason that you will never have you'll never have enough. You've got to keep, just because they find another million, you know, they'll be gone over a certain period of days, and then you got to find more. And I think our leaders who have never been through anything remotely like this are feeling their way, just like the rest of us.
And one of the things that the governor talked about yesterday was the Defense Production Act. And, you know, he didn't say it flat out, but he was hinting that, hey, I had this conversation and, you know, we think that this should be put in action. Your thoughts on that? Because, I mean, it's something now that Cuomo's asking for, people on both sides, really, of the aisle.
Right. There's a couple of things there. I mean, during a war, you don't say, okay, anybody want to help build planes? Anybody at all? Anybody want to help build ships? No, the government takes the lead. And I understand the idea that you want the free market system to handle it, but the free market is geared towards competition, right? And right now, what you're trying to do is get stuff done quickly. And it's got to be coordinated. I talked on the morning news this morning with Andrew C. Weber, who was a former undersecretary of the Pentagon, but he was familiar with their logistics capacity. One thing the Defense Department knows how to do is get the right equipment to the right place in a short period of time. And what he told me, and I can't independently verify this, but what he told me is you have thousands of logistics professionals in the Pentagon who are sitting there waiting for the next world war, right, but are not being used to coordinate the response to this. And he can't quite understand why that's going on. So you have two things. Creating some leadership for the industries that can manufacture the ventilators and make the masks. And number two, using the capacity that, according to Mr. Weber, we already have to coordinate the delivery of those things to the places that need it most.
Dave, usually it would be off the air that I would ask you to help me with some confusion that I have. And so you're on the air now, so I might as well ask you in front of others. There was a tweet this morning by President Trump at 8:23 this morning. It said, General Motors must immediately open their stupidly abandoned Lordstown plant in Ohio or some other plant, and in bold, start making ventilators now. Ford, get going on ventilators fast. I wanted to tell you that, and then I also want you to hear last night on Sean Hannity's show, here is the president bashing Governor Inslee and explain why he's refusing to invoke the Defense Production Act.
You know, when you talk about buying a car, and, you know, they'd say, like Governor Cuomo and others, that say we want, you know, 30,000 of them, 30,000. But we have now companies stepping up and they're building them. They're doing the masks. We've already delivered millions and millions of masks. But remember, we're really a second line of attack. The first line of attack is supposed to be the hospitals and the local government and the states themselves. I mean, we have people like Governor Inslee. He should be doing more. He shouldn't be relying on the federal government. Governor Inslee, that's the state of Washington. He was a failed presidential candidate, and, you know, he's always complaining. And your governor of Michigan, I mean, she's not stepping up. I don't know if she knows what's going on, but all she does is sit there and blame the federal government. She doesn't get it done, and we send her a lot. A lot of things are being said that are more. I don't think that certain things will materialize, and, you know, a lot of equipment's being asked for that I don't think they'll need.
So, Dave, yesterday, last night, he downplayed the need for ventilators, but right now his tweets say otherwise. Help me understand.
I'm sure that Sean came back with some hard-hitting questions for the president about what figures he was using, what information he was relying on, right?
Yes, we assume that.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing to understand there except that apparently he's not listening to anybody or he doesn't have the information. I mean, as far as I know, Governor Jay Inslee, regardless of what happened to his presidential campaign, doesn't have the power to order General Motors to make ventilators. So I didn't see the tweet, one of the many I've missed recently, but I don't know exactly what he's talking about. I understand that he wants to get the economy up and running again. We all do. But the economy won't be up and running if you let everybody out. They all get sick and they can't go to work because they're incapacitated. And at that point, we're not just talking about people who are sitting out for a few months. You're talking about people who would never be able to work again because they're so sick. So I guess at some point, somebody will get angry enough and have enough power to say that somebody besides Donald Trump will be calling the shots here. That seems to be Vice President Pence, who seems to be getting good grades for what
he's been doing.
Doing. Yeah. And I try to watch the daily briefings. I've come to the point of tuning out the petty remarks that the president seems to be inserting from time to time. He misses the rallies, I guess, you know, when you could do this and get a big round of applause. I don't see how it's helping. I don't see how saying, let's all go back to church on Easter Sunday because I feel in my bones that's a good idea helps anything.
Yesterday, though, the head of the coronavirus task force, Dr. Birx, did mention that there could be some scenarios where some parts of the country, you know, based on data, could open up earlier. So she actually seemed to be supporting some of what President Trump has been saying, basically in terms of.
Yes, but based on what? See, that they're talking about the South Korea model. What did South Korea do? They tested everybody, right? They had tests. We haven't got any tests. And they were able to find out who already had the virus. And we're hearing, I mean, we have China as a test case. So they've got lots of people who have recovered. They are testing them now. But that's what it comes down to, testing. There's a report this morning that some of those who have been through the virus are still, who were cured, right? No symptoms, are still testing positive for it. They've got to find out whether it's the kind of positive where you just have it in your system and you can live with it, or whether you're still spreading it. This is, you know, that's the research that has to be done. So there's going to be people who come through this and will come out with various status, right? You are, you have it, but you haven't shown symptoms yet. You have it, you showed symptoms, and you've gotten better, and your body is now immune to it. You have it, and you are still sick. We can't figure out who those people are until there are tests everywhere. And for some reason, China managed to get those tests up and running. South Korea managed to get those tests up and running, but we have not.
I probably shouldn't have said confusion, because I think that there are truly a lot of people across America that are really confused when you hear that message by the president. And since you guys brought up Dr. Deborah Birx and what she said yesterday, just on Thursday, just yesterday in the press conference, she said, quote, there was no evidence that hospitals were facing a severe shortage of ventilators. At this time, Dave Ross, confusion equals danger when these messages keep continuing to happen.
Does she watch CNN? I mean, have you seen what's going on? I can't. I mean, I will tell you, to cut her some slack, I turn on the TV and I saw those pictures from New York. I'm not sure whether I couldn't believe that was reality and not some kind of, you know, disaster exercise or simulation. But the Trump administration has approved the construction of 4 field hospitals in New York. The numbers in New York are staggering. I understand that it's a crowded city, but to try to say that there's no need there, you have to ask yourself, what is she basing that on? Is that what the president wants to hear? Is the president closer to the problem in New York than Governor Cuomo is? Is Governor Cuomo making it up? The president's a Republican. They believe in they want government to be as local as possible. Well, Cuomo and de Blasio, those are the guys on the scene. They're the ones who are trying to call the shots, but they're not being listened to. That's the part that doesn't make any sense to me.
That is the voice of Dave Ross from Seattle Mornings News joining the Gian Ursula show. Dave, I surprised Ursula with the question to start the show. She was pretty shocked that it came, and we ended up asking all the listeners, and it has continued on, and we continue to ask those. So we're going to take this chance to ask you, Dave Ross. You do news every single day. You've been doing it for 40 years. Everybody's appreciative. They know who you are. But we just all want to know, how are you doing personally?
I'm doing fine. I'm the kind of person that every time I feel an ache or pain, I say, I wonder if that's serious. But the great part about this job is once you're immersed in it, you ignore all that stuff. My family is fine. I talk to my daughters every day. I hear my granddaughter babble from time to time. She's doing fine. She's getting over her ear infection now. My parents, sadly, have passed away, so, you know, I miss them, but that's now a closed issue in terms of their being affected by this. In terms of psychologically, I if you looked at my calendar, you'd see I've got plenty to keep my mind occupied.
Right.
So, you know, getting stir crazy is not an issue. We can go out and walk, like I say, and we take advantage of that. So I'm doing well. And I guess part of it is that I have covered a number of crises around the world, and it's amazing how in most of them, I mean, I covered the falling of the Berlin Wall, the revolutions in Czechoslovakia, and was sort of on the outskirts of the Gulf War. I never got close to the battle, but I was at the operations center there. You know, you can walk a half mile for any of these crisis points, and people are going about their daily lives. They're going to school, et cetera. This is one of those things where that's not the case. This is where it's the general population that is immersed in this, and there are no real battle lines because it's invisible, and life is not normal. But you tell yourself, well, you know, it's like an extended snowstorm. You know how that first morning where the snow closes everything, you go outside, and it's so quiet and picturesque, and you say, wow, isn't that neat? And I walk out early in the morning, and it's so quiet, you can't hear traffic, and yet this time it's ominous. And you just have to accept that and see the efforts of many brave and smart people and assume that human ingenuity will get us past this.
Dave Ross, appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining
us.
Have a great weekend, man.
You too.
Well, I love that, you know, he hasn't been personally affected, that you know, he's doing well. And I did ask that question on Twitter last night, too. And it made me so happy to hear when people say, you know what, I'm doing okay. And I'm finding ways to change my routine or have a routine. I loved what one listener said, which was that, you know, he's trying to eat better. He's trying to walk more. He's trying to, you know, do things and get on a routine so that, you know, he's not focusing on everything that he can't do, but he's focusing on what he can do. And you know, I think everyone's figuring out their coping mechanisms.
Right. You're not going to be mad at me about not getting to the headlines, are you?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Because I know you did a lot of work on the headlines.
Yeah, it's
so,
okay.
All right.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to 9:47. Yes. This is going to be an opportunity for our amazing listeners and all those who continue to listen to the show
people have been asking. I mean, we had one listener tell us that he wanted to use any money that he gets from the federal government. And
that was Rick, right?
Yeah. And he was asking, like, you know, I'm going to be listening to the show and, you know, you can tell me how I can best use that money to help others. And we thought, you know what? We don't want to ask for money. We don't want to ask people to give anything financially at a time when they might be able to use it. I would rather if you don't need that money, that you use it to support businesses in your community. Mm-hmm. But we have a way that everyone can take part, and I think you could feel really good.
I'm thinking about charging rent to some people starting next segment, because Chris Sullivan is going to be joining us.
Uh-huh.
And starts charging rent to those from Seattle Mornings News. They just continue to come and hang out on our show. So it's always good. Appreciate Dave Ross for joining us. Again, 9:47. Ursula, she's the best person to announce what we're going to be doing. And like I said, it does not involve money, but it will help so many people. So tune in for that at 9:47. But up next, Chris Sullivan comes in, and I think he's going to be talking about one Bill Gates and his appearance on CNN. It's the Gene Ursula Show. This hour of the show is brought to you by Toyota of Puyallup. It means the world that you listen to the Gene Ursula Show. Up next in about 12 minutes, we'll tell you how you can give our elderly hope while they're isolated in long-term care. But right now, joining the Gene Ursula Show from Seattle's Morning News, Chris Sullivan. Sully, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how are you?
I'm getting here.
There we go.
We always love having Sully here because you just bring this burst of sunshine. And we do want to talk to you about obviously some serious stuff, but we just love the energy that you bring to the show. And among the many things that you've been covering this morning as a reporter now is what Bill Gates had to say.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. As we know, Bill Gates was, you know, for about 5 years now, is talking about how kind of behind the curve we've been in preparation for a pandemic. And, you know, everything that he's pretty much been saying has been coming true and whatnot. And last night he was on CNN and discussing things. And his advice was pretty clear. I mean, he didn't fool around. He said, listen, guys, we have to shut this country down for 6 to 10 weeks. Basically go the Italy route, go the India route, the China route, in order to get ahead of this thing.
So we're entering to a tough period that if we do it right, we'll only have to do it once for 6 to 10 weeks. But we have to do it. It has to be the whole country.
He says you can't just do this state by state, county by county. Leave it to them to try to figure this thing out. It has to be done as a group, or else, you know, we're never going to get past this.
And having states go at different things or thinking you can do it county by county, that will not work. The cases will be exponentially growing anywhere you don't have a serious shutdown.
And he also says, listen, I know a 6 to 10 week full shutdown of this country will do a number on the economy. He goes, I get that. But he, in his estimation, it's better to kind of rip off the Band-Aid on that and take that initial precipitous hit, which it would be, rather than kind of getting wave after wave of up, down, up, down, up, down with the economy if this virus comes in the waves that some anticipate that it might if we don't do a little bit more concentrated shelter in place.
What makes Bill Gates an expert on this, and how did he come up with that duration?
Well, it's something that he's been working with, you know, in the, you know, for 5-10 years now as part of the Gates Foundation, as he looks at ways of been trying to eradicate viruses and diseases around the country. And he's surrounded himself with a very good crew of people that know what they're talking about. And this is basically, he's ahead of the game from a lot of people because he's been working on this for a longer period of time than maybe those in power right now, you know, governors, Congress, whatever the president made. They, you know, the response, he has kind of been preparing for this, and so he's already had a lot of the infrastructure, if you want to call it that, in place to kind of have an idea of what, you know, way that he might know a little bit more than the people that are just trying to get up to speed right now in our scientific community.
Chris, 9/11, we all kind of had this idea on who the enemy was, and I think that we as Americans were all on one accord that we felt like, hey, this can't happen again. That was tragic what happened on that day. I wasn't living during some of the other wars that happened in the earlier 20th century, but I would assume that everyone was on the same accord as well during that time. In your opinion right now, Chris, what is going on to where we all can't agree on one method on how to, I don't want to say defeat this virus, but I want to say slow this virus down?
It's something, and again, I don't have any super expertise on it. It's just an opinion. It's but it's something that you, Ursula, and me kind of talked about earlier in the week during just out in the office about the fact. I mean, you look at, say, the Second World War. Pearl Harbor happened December 7th. At that point, the country's all in. It's like, oh my gosh, we've been attacked as a country. Boom, we're all in.
Right.
This, you know, there's some states that have 100 cases. There's some states that have 10,000. There's some places in this country that haven't been touched by this, but like other communities have. And so I don't think there's a grand overall understanding maybe of, well, if it's happening in Seattle and San Francisco and New York, it's going to happen to me in Des Moines, Iowa, or going to happen to me in Wyoming or whatever. And so and we don't really know what the full effect of this is. I mean, are we at the beginning of the middle, the beginning of the end of the beginning? I mean, we don't know what the actual
is saying,
event is.
Yeah, we are at the but early stages still here in the U.S.
To kind of break it down and put it in really, really common sense terms.
Yeah.
If there was a fight that broke out two blocks away in a neighborhood and things were going on, and on my block, that's not happening. At that time, I have a choice. I can either A, try to prevent it from happening over here, or B, say, well, that only happens over here. That can never happen over on my block. And then when it eventually happens on my block, I can only be upset at not preparing. And I say that to say that in China, there was 80,000 confirmed cases over there. And then all of a sudden here in the United States, it has built up. And I think that as a nation, we all need to act as if it can affect everywhere. New York has 37,000 cases plus. The state of Washington has, I believe, just shy of 3,200 cases plus. We don't want 3,000 to become 6,000 in the state of Washington, just like we don't want 37,000 to become 74,000 over in New York City.
Well, a couple of things, though, G. One is that as far as the numbers, as the governor said, are the data that we have shows that our increase here in the state of Washington is like it doubles every 5 to 6 days, whereas other places like New York are seeing it 2 or 3. So they're seeing a slow in the rise of the number of cases. But the thing that you didn't mention is that money, economics, finances, that's the other part. You know, the you talk about Pearl Harbor, we're all in. But if you are not personally affected, unless the restrictions are actually hurting your business, you know, I think that's harder for some people to agree with. I mean, economy, what's happening with the economy is the big thing that's also, it's that fine balancing act.
I think that our biggest problem here outside of the money has been actually taking it serious. I think that there are some that continue to go to work because of the message of hearing early on that this is a potential of being a hoax. Yes, let me just be clear. There are some people that have no choice. They're like, it's not easy for me to stay at home, and I empathize with them. I'm not talking about that message. I'm talking about the sheer numbers of people that even today continue to not think that this is real, to continue to talk about the regular flu. I mean, I cannot believe I'm still answering questions about the flu today in 2020, March 27th. I'm still answering questions about the difference between the flu and this coronavirus. If we don't get to the point where we all continue to get on the same page and understand that this is something more serious, this is a global pandemic, that's what makes me on the confused side that I started off with this morning.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to look at the fact that and I get to your point, and I don't mean to, if we're real serious about this, air quotes with Nick Allard, real serious about this,
yeah.
I mean, there would be no exemption list from Governor Inslee. I think that's what Bill Gates is talking about. There is no, you're doing this, you're doing that, you get to go to the store once a day or once a week, you know, fill out your ration card like they did in World War II. Gas rationing, things like that. I think that's what Bill Gates is talking about. There wouldn't be a 15 or 20 page, whatever it is, exemption list from Jay Inslee to tell us who it can or cannot go to work. It's hard to compare those two eras, but it's a similar thing. Are we all pointing in the same direction for the same common good, or are we not? And at some point, some very difficult decisions, even more so than we've had. I mean, you look at the city of Seattle. We haven't had very many difficult decisions coming from the mayor's office, I'll tell you that. She's hung up a flag. Good on her. But what do we get now? I mean, we need some real leadership and some tough decisions if Bill Gates is right and what we need to do. I'm not prepared for that. I don't know how to live through something like that. I think it's tough right now. Imagine that. And I get it. It's scary. Mm-hmm. But if that's what it's going to take, I guess that's what it's going to take. And again, I'm no expert. But, you know, so that's why we put Bill Gates on the radio. If you want to, we can get him in the studio. I hope maybe he'll come by or get by remotely.
We've tried for years and years.
So you got people?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if I got that guy. I'm not sure if I could text out a guy and have Bill Gates on Skype in 20 minutes. I'm not sure. I don't have that kind of juice.
Sully, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys do the same.
Are you doing anything special this weekend at home?
No, just trying to stay, you know, just spending time with the fam, making sure they're mentally right. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure Tom's, talking to his friends, trying to stay social as best he can. And Probably play game night again, get my butt kicked by my wife at Uno again.
Yeah.
Like she did last weekend. Merciless. Yeah. She's...
You get beaten Scram at
I get
Uno.
I get beaten in everything.
And Ursula beats her family at Scramble.
Holly is relentless.
Scramble. Not Scramble.
She's
Scramble.
Relentless.
Thanks, Sully.
You guys
appreciate
have a good
you,
one.
Hey, coming up next, Ursula is going to be telling you how you can help the elderly that are in long-term care. It's the G and Ursula Show.
So much for hanging out with us this morning on the G and Ursula Show. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, why are men less likely to heed the health warnings during this pandemic? And we're also going to go live to New York City and talk to 710 ESPN's Danny O'Neill about what life is like there today. But right now, I want to tell you about this very special project. And I say it's special because it's really close to my heart. We are calling it the Letters of Hope Project. And we really hope that you are going to be part of it. So many of our elderly loved ones are isolated right now, cut off from their families in long-term care.
Hey there, old-timer. How are you doing today?
Oh, I don't know. I'm getting by.
Our parents, our loved ones are not allowed any visitors during the pandemic. And as family, we're entrusting their care to others.
And you have caregiving staff that are very close to their residents. We hug them, we kiss them, we love them.
But now, no family and no friends are allowed in their rooms.
To hold her hand, touch them, support, encourage.
A phone call, a visit outside the window, that's all we have right now.
It's real hard to communicate with them through a pane of glass.
And unfortunately, many of the elderly in these homes have no family at all. That's why we are asking for your letters of hope. And we have posted all of this information on our G and Ursula Facebook page. You can actually see pictures of my dad, who's turning 89 years old today. Happy birthday, Pa, if you're listening. I also have a picture of the last time that my sons were able to hug him. I'm not going to lose it today like I did yesterday, so I'm powering through right now. You can also text the word letters to 98973 for more information. That's going to give you a direct link to our page on mynorthwest.com. And you can see the addresses for the nursing homes who would love your letters and cards right now.
Mm.
I want to say that yesterday I found out as I was checking in, I found out that 14 patients have tested positive. My dad is at Columbia Lutheran. I'm sharing all this very personal information just in hopes that you can personalize it for yourself, too, and see. I mean, I also just found out that several of the residents have died. My dad's been there since August. We thought he was going to be leaving pretty soon. He's been working on rehab so hard. But this has really taken a toll, this isolation. I mean, and they have no choice. I mean, it's I wish that they could have immediate help and all the hospital help that they could have. But they have medical staff and they are dealing with it. And this is happening not just at that home. I mean, you know what happened in Kirkland. You know what happened. It's happening in other nursing homes. And I'm trying not to freak out about it, because what I appreciate is that they have testing and they're doing testing. But when I asked the folks there, and we also checked in with all these other nursing homes, we asked, would this be something that would be helpful? And they said, yes, not just for the residents, but also for the staff. The staff is working tirelessly in some cases, because people are getting sick. They're having to work literally 24 hours. And many of the elderly, like in my dad's particular case, that's a nonprofit home. And I mean, you know, it is a challenge right now. It's a challenge to get equipment. So they would love. I mean, I asked my dad, who's normally very private, and he said, oh, my gosh, yes, the residents here and the staff here would love that.
You can text letters to 989-73 to find out more. And we'll continue to update you on the conversation, and also on mynorthwest.com. You'll be able to go to that site as well. I love this idea. I really do. And it doesn't take money. It just takes a little bit of time. And this is something that these folks could definitely use.
Yeah.
The elderly that are in long-term care and those that are working there and providing and being their lifeline, because the Ursulas can't go visit their dads. It's the G and Ursula Show.